Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to all those who are with us today watching this online. The message I want to give today is a very important message, and it is called Loyalty and Judicial Order. Loyalty and Judicial Order. And 2 Timothy 3:4 states in the end time that people will be traitors and disloyal without natural affection, because loyalty really should be something that's a natural affection. Even in the New Testament, it says that in the end times, that families will be against each other, you know, father against child and mother against daughter, and that brother will be against brother, you know, disloyalty. I always say this, I said it many times, life is a test. And basically, the whole test of our life from the Garden of Eden, as we're going to see here in a few minutes, is to see if we'll be loyal to Yahweh through eternity. If you think about it, and we've talked about this many times, how Satan, the devil, used to be Lucifer, the light giver. And who knows, how long was he Lucifer? How long was he the covering cherub? How long was he over here praising Yahweh, you know, with the instruments, like it says in Ezekiel 28, before he became Lucifer, the adversary, or rather Satan, the adversary? And again, what caused this? Disloyalty. Disloyalty is what caused this. Loyalty is a character trait. It's not something you just do or don't do. It literally is a character trait, as we're going to see today, in many different forms. The opposite. What is the opposite of loyalty? Is disloyalty. Prideful, treasonous spirit, self-ambition, and self-preservation. And that's what causes people to be disloyal, as we're going to see, that people want, it's their own selfish desires, because disloyalty is never something from Yahweh. It is, like I said, the very premise and the very basis of what the kingdom of Yahweh will be made up. And I can guarantee you 100% assuredly let you know that there will not be one disloyal person in the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's the amazing part when we were talking about the Essenes, the Dead Sea sect, a few weeks ago. And I was saying, why did it work? How can you get 450 people living together, working together, all in unity? Because all of them surrendered to that. They surrendered to each other. They surrendered to the system. They surrendered to the leadership. And all of them believed in it 100%, and they were loyal to that. A matter of fact, I'm going to read you the definition of loyalty, you know, just from the dictionary. It says, loyalty is devotion in faithfulness to a cause, a country, a group, or a person. Loyalty is devotion in faithfulness to a cause, a country, a group, or a person. Excuse me. So we see here, like I said, that everybody has loyalty to something, as we're going to see. But is your loyalty first to Yahweh? You know, is your loyalty to his kingdom? Is your loyalty? Because there's many people out there. Remember, there's wheat and tares. There's sheep and goats. And there's many people out there that are thinking they're loyal to Yahweh. And absolutely, it's the total opposite. They're totally disloyal. And it's because we live in a culture of disloyalty. You know, if you look in Western society, right? You have countries like America and countries in Europe that they'll say that Iran is an enemy. And then they'll negotiate with them and make deals with them. It's always been that way with Russia and the same thing. How can you negotiate and make deals with your enemy? Because it's a culture of disloyalty. It's a culture that breeds disloyalty. And unfortunately, many people out there have no idea what loyalty even is. They think they know, but they really don't. Proverbs 1 and verse 19 says, so are the ways of everyone who gets unjust gain. It takes away its owner's soul. Wow. So is everyone that gets unjust gain, takes away his owner's soul. And, you know, when you think of loyalty, like I said, it's a character trait or the lack of it. And I remember growing up as a young boy in the town that I lived in, you know, we had the five and dime store where you would go and you would buy your wiffle ball or whatever you had. You had the hardware store of Mr. So-and-so that everybody knew for 30 or 40 years. And then all of a sudden, when I was growing up into an adult, becoming adult age, many things changed, because that's when you start to have corporate America take over the mom and pop operations. And you saw that, you know, the corner stores went out of business to what? To the Walmarts, to the chains, to all this corporate America. And why is it? Because face it, yeah, the bigger chains, the Walmart, can cut the price on everybody else because they're selling so much. But is that loyalty? Is it loyalty to You know, turn on the vendor who's taking care of your family for the last 30 or 40 years just to get a cheaper price at Walmart. And today, people really don't think that way. They're not thinking of what loyalty is. They're not thinking everything is in dollars and cents, and they're not thinking how Yahweh looks at it. When we look at work, you know, average-wise, people get a new job every 2 to 5 years. How many people do you talk to that are actually satisfied and happy with their work? How many people do you talk to that actually have good words to say about their boss instead of saying bad words and condemning words and gossiping words, which is treasonous? It's disloyalty. You know, here it is. The boss is paying your salary. The boss is paying you that you could take care of your children and your wife and pay your home and whatnot. And here it is. What do people, many people do? They backbite. They gossip. It's a disloyal spirit that's there. Many don't want to be planted in a congregation today. You know, in this whole so-called messianic movement, which is very messy to begin with. What is it? All you do is basically have conferences where people go there to sell you all of their stuff and take advantage of the people, and they get 300, 400, 500 people coming to these meetings because there's no accountability. So people don't want to be planted in a congregation. You'll have people say, I'll never follow a man. Wow, what a disloyal saying that is, considering that from the Garden of Eden, Adam was a man, and Noah was a man, and Abraham was a man, and Moses was a man, and most of all, Yeshua was a man. So for people to say, I'll never follow a man, what are they saying? I can't be loyal to anybody. That I'm disloyal because I don't want to follow anybody but myself. So we're going to see today, this is an extremely important subject. I pray that you'll have eyes to see and ears to hear, because I really want to get into some stories and some examples of this to really show you that loyalty may go a lot further than many people think. So let's start in Genesis 3. Let's go to Genesis, the third chapter. Because I want to start in the very beginning, you know, because like we say, how many parts is the Bible broken into? Sometimes it may seem like a trick question, because some people say, oh, the Old Testament, the New Testament. No, the Bible is broken into two parts. Basically, you have Genesis 1 and 2, and then you have the rest of the Bible. Because in Genesis 1 and 2, everything is perfect. Everything is in Eden. Everything is within Yahweh's judicial order. And then comes Genesis 3, as we're going to read here, where Adam, who was placed in the garden to protect and to care for that garden, Adam becomes a treasonous traitor. Adam turns, and now Yahweh has to come up with plan B. He has to prepare for a second Adam to come. And everything from that point on till today is the consequences of that decision. So let's start reading here in Genesis 3. And the serpent was cunning above every beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it so that Elohim has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, Elohim had said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay? This is a commandment. This is a basic commandment. It's not about fruit. It's not about food. It's about obedience. It's about loyalty. Are they going to believe Yahweh? Are they going to follow him in loyalty? Or are they going to go their own way? And the serpent said to the woman, surely you will not die. So here is Satan everywhere you look, of people trying to be loyal to Yahweh. Satan is there trying to bring doubt, because doubt is the one thing that will always lead to disloyalty. Because one doubt will lead to another doubt. And before you know it, you're being hoodwinked by Satan and taken away from the truth. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be opened and you will be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. So we see a covetous spirit, a spirit of the flesh, is deceiving her. And she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, right? So what happened? They lost their covering. They lost the covering that Yahweh was the covering over them. Yahweh was the protectorate over them. But now that they decided to not be loyal to Yahweh, but they decided to go their own way, they lost that covering. And they knew they were naked, and they sewed leaves of the fig tree and made girdles for themselves. And they heard the sound of Yahweh Elohim walking up and down in the garden at the breeze of the day. And the man and his wife had them hid themselves from the face of Yahweh Elohim in the middle of the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I have heard your sound in the garden, and I was afraid, for I am naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? So here it is. They're seeing that Yahweh's seeing that they disobeyed him, their treason. And what is the result of it? The result is it is being cast out of Eden, being cast out of his kingdom, out of his presence. If you drop down to verse 23, and Yahweh Elohim sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he drove the man out, and he lodged the cherubs at the east of the Garden of Eden, and the flaming sword whirling around to guard the way to the tree of life. So where did it lead? It led to a one-way ticket out of Eden. Bad communications ruin good habits. The first thing that we wonder is, why is Eve palling around with Satan? Why is Eve listening to Satan? And one thing that will bring disloyalty, as we're going to see, is when you're around people that are disloyal. When somebody is disloyal, and like we said, loyalty is devotion and faithfulness to a cause, a country, a group, a person. And we're going to see that all of these play an effect with Yahweh, because the cause is the kingdom of Yahweh. The country is Israel, where Yahweh put his kingdom. The group is Yahweh's congregation, and the person is Yahweh in the leadership that he placed. So all of it is part of Yahweh's judicial order. And when somebody is disloyal and treasonous to any of those things of Yahweh's kingdom, why on earth would you be having any association with a person like that? You have to ask yourself. Bad communications ruin good habits. You know, why was Adam and Eve palling around with Satan? Adam lost a kingdom, not a religion. It was an act of treason. He used his free will. Yahweh gives us free will, but that free will is to submit it freely back to him and submit unto his kingdom. But Adam used his free will to declare independence from the government of Yahweh, who placed him in his position of rulership, not ownership. He abdicated his position as ambassador over the earth, and he lost his dominion. He literally surrendered his dominion over to Satan until the second Adam, Yeshua Messiah, would come to the earth and regain that back. We have free will when we violate Yahweh's judicial order and we rebel against the Torah, or we rebel against the leadership that Yahweh placed. We're rebelling against Yahweh in its treason. Let's go to Exodus 16. Exodus the 16th chapter. Because you want to know something. It talks about in the book of Daniel 4. I'm not going to go there. It says that no government or no authority is set that Yahweh hasn't put in place. Romans 13, the New Testament, says the same thing. So every authority is at least allowed by Yahweh. It doesn't mean that he agrees with every single decision that's being made. As we see in Israel, many of the kings were evil kings. But the authority was still placed by Yahweh. And if you don't respect the authority that Yahweh placed, then you're not respecting Yahweh. Exodus 16, verse 2 and 3. And all the congregation of the sons of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, and are sitting by the flesh pots, and are eating bread to satisfaction. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill all this assembly with hunger. Excuse me. So here it is. These people were slaves. These people were in bondage. And Yahweh, by miracle, by 10 miracles, including the death of the firstborn and then the parting of the Red Sea, that Yahweh single-handedly takes these people out. And what are they doing now? They're not accusing Moses. They're accusing Yahweh of trying to kill them. Can you imagine? There is nothing that's more disloyal or treasonous to say something like that. Drop down to verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening you will know that Yahweh has brought you from the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of Yahweh in his hearing your murmurings against Yahweh. And we, what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, when Yahweh gives you flesh to eat in the morning, or flesh to eat in the evening, and bread in the morning to satisfaction, when Yahweh hears your murmurings, which you are murmuring against him, you will see. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh. Very clear from the Garden of Eden, Yahweh has always worked through human beings. There's nothing else. There was never a time that a cherub was the king of the earth. Or, you know, when Yeshua returns, of course, he will be physically leading over the earth and king of the universe at that time. But up until now, Yahweh is using human beings, and he uses human leadership. And when you come against that human leadership and you murmur or you complain or you gripe, you're complaining against Yahweh, and it's treason. It is a disloyal spirit, because what you're doing is you're putting your will above the will of Yahweh. And we're going to see here what happens when that happens here, that it actually will disqualify someone from the kingdom. And if I'm not going to go there to Corinthians 10, we went there many times, but one of the main things that is the lesson that we need to learn from the wilderness is not to murmur. Because like it says right here, our murmurings are not against man, they're against Yahweh. And a whole generation, 20 and above, except for Caleb and Joshua, were left out of the kingdom. These people will go to the lake of fire. They lost out on the kingdom. Not just because they murmured, but because they were disloyal. Because they actually falsely accused Yahweh and the leadership that Yahweh placed. So we're going to see here very, very clearly, and I know it's hard to see in the disloyal world we live in today, where people gripe and complain and even rebelliously overtake governments. Everywhere you look, a government is being overthrown by the people. That's why we're in the Laodicean era. And Laodicean means ruled by the people. But you don't have to be a Laodicean. You don't have to be, because there will not be a ruled by the people. There will not be demonocracy or democracy in the kingdom of Yahweh. No, the kingdom of Yahweh is a willful submission over to Yahweh and over to the leadership that he placed. And that's where the faith comes in. Because praise Yahweh that he does have a system. Praise Yahweh that there are leaders and elders there to handle things. Praise Yahweh he does have judicial order in the congregation. And again, we're human beings. Does it always work out? No, but at least there's a process there. And that's the blessing that we have, that there's a process there. And you can't only talk about judicial order when it goes your way, even with elders in the congregation. You know, that you have to follow the judicial order that Yahweh set. It can't be that you're only following judicial order or teaching judicial order when something is going your way or when you're the leader in your area. But now, when Yahweh sets up, we have an international board, international council of elders. You know, when that international, that's the highest court, human court in Yahweh's congregation. We have local elders. And then we have a council of elders in each country. And then we have the international council of elders. And when they make that final decision, the people have to follow, whether you're an elder or you're a brethren, because Yahweh set it up that way. Yahweh set up the judicial order. And what's the alternative? That we do it your way? That everything that's been set up worldwide comes crashing down for one man's opinion that selfishly and demonically wants to do it his own way? No. That's treason. That's treason, it's disloyalty, and it will keep you out of the kingdom of Yahweh. So this is, like I said, a really, really important subject here. Let's go to 1 Samuel 24, because I want to show you from a man after Yahweh's own heart, King David, the greatest king of Israel, and the person that will be under Yeshua for eternity. The very covenant is built on David and David's offspring, who is Yeshua. So, wow, talk about the loyalty that David had to Yahweh and also that Yahweh had back to David, right? And here it is. Let's look at why David was blessed with such an amazing future. Like he said, who am I that you would make my house, Beth David, the house of David, this kingship over all the world, and that Yahweh's very son Yeshua would be born as a son of David to be king over the universe, and David would be third in the kingdom under Yahweh and Yeshua. Well, let's look at this character and we'll see. 1 Samuel 24, and now this is when Saul is coming after David, right? 13 years, think about this. You're not talking about a couple of days, you're not talking about a few weeks, a few months. 13 long years that Saul wanted to kill David for no other reason than that Yahweh picked David to replace him. So now you might think, and some of the people with David thought, you know what? David has every right to kill Saul. If Saul is trying to kill him and Yahweh has already replaced him, then why wouldn't David have the right to defend himself and kill Saul? Well, let's see how David looks at it, though. And it happened when Saul had returned from after the Philistines, they told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men on the front of the rocks of the wild goats. And on the way, he came into the folds of the flock. And there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. He had to go to the toilet. And David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. So, wow, here it is, out of all places, right? That Saul walks into the very cave that David is in the back of. And David's men said to him, "Behold, the day of which Yahweh said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as is good in your eyes.'" But David rose up and quietly cut off the tassel of Saul's robe. Remember, the tassel is the sign of authority. And now when David cuts off that tassel, it pricks his heart that now he is taking that authority on his own and not allowing Yahweh to give it to him. And it happened afterwards, the heart of David struck him because he cut off Saul's tassel. He was taking things into his own hand. He wasn't allowing Yahweh to set it up. And isn't that what people do sometimes? Isn't that right? When you don't get your way, that people get upset. Sometimes even leave the congregation over it instead of having faith in Yahweh and trusting in Yahweh to handle things. Isn't it Yahweh who sets up one leader? Isn't it Yahweh that takes down the leader? So why did Yahweh allow Saul to chase David for 13 years and try to kill him? Why didn't Yahweh kill Saul 10 years before this or 12 years before this? Because he was trying David. He was testing David, and he wanted to see David's loyalty to him. And then let's look what happens. "And he said to his men," this is what David said, "'Far be it from me by Yahweh, I shall not do this thing to my master,'" talking about Saul, to the anointed, the Mashiach of Yahweh, "'to put out my hand against him, for he is the Mashiach of Yahweh.'" So here it is. Saul's the king. That's the highest level in the land, the highest position. And David's even calling him the Mashiach, the anointed of Yahweh. And he's saying, "I'm not going to touch him. Yahweh put him in his place." Even though he had every right to defend himself, David is trusting in Yahweh's judicial order. He's trusting in Yahweh. He's not taking things into his own hand. "For David held back his men by words and did not allow him to rise up against Saul. And Saul rose up from the cave and went his way. And David rose up afterwards and went out from the cave and called after Saul, saying, 'My master, the king.' And Saul looked behind, and David was bowing face to the earth and prostrated himself." Wow. You talk about humility. You talk about loyalty. And his loyalty isn't to Saul. His loyalty is to Saul because Yahweh placed Saul. David's loyalty is to Yahweh. And when we have loyalty to Yahweh, we're going to have loyalty to the people that Yahweh put in the position, in the congregation. "And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of man, saying, "Behold, David seeks to do you evil. See this day your eyes have seen how Yahweh has delivered you into my hand in the cave. And one said to kill you, and I had pity on you. And I said, "I shall not put out my hand against my master, for he is the Mashiach, the anointed of Yahweh. And my father, behold, yes, see the tassel of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the tassel of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you are lying in wait for my soul to take it. Yahweh will judge between me and you, and Yahweh shall avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be on you." So why can't that be our answer in the congregation? Why can't people, if things don't go their way, if they don't get the proper judgment that they want, why can't they say, "Well, let me leave it to Yahweh. Let me trust in Yahweh." Like I said, sometimes even an elder, you know, that when the International Council of Elders, you know, gives a decision, it's not up for a local elder to decide. They're not going to follow that. No, Yahweh put the chain of command there. And if there's no chain of command, there's no judicial order. And it's not up to the local elder to decide he's not going to follow this. It's up to the local elder to submit to the judicial order of Yahweh in faith. And you know what? If a mistake has been made, we all have to trust in Yahweh that Yahweh will fix it. He'll either fix it by having the council change their decision, or he'll fix it by maybe removing somebody who's doing something wrong. We have to trust in Yahweh for this. But once you take things into your own hands and you break that chain of judicial order, you're no longer, number one, you're disloyal. It's treasonous to Yahweh because he set the judicial order up. And number two, now you're outside the will of Yahweh. Where would David have been if he killed Saul right then? The whole Bible would be changed because David would have taken things in his own hands and he would have been outside of Yahweh's judicial order. But he said, no, Yahweh will judge between us. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be on you. And then verse 15, yea, Yahweh shall be judge and shall judge between you and me. Yea, he shall see and contend for my cause and shall deliver me out of your hand. I'll tell you something. I'm 22 years an elder. And as the leader of the congregation from Jerusalem, I take it most serious. I would never, ever, ever make a decision in the congregation that I purposely would know would be against the will of Yahweh, because I know the accountability that I have to Yahweh in these things. And that's why it doesn't matter to me whether the person who's sinning is an elder, whether it's a family member, whether it's a close friend. Out of love for that person, in love for Yahweh, I have to hold them accountable to the sin they're doing. The same way I would hope somebody would do that to me. Because it's out of love that we're loyal that way. And we only want people to repent the way Yahweh does. But we can't have nepotism in the congregation. And you can't, you know, let a situation not be handled simply because somebody is close to somebody else. It doesn't work that way. So David's loyalty to Saul was because of his loyalty to Yahweh. Wow, talk about judicial order, right? We see it right here. Ephesians 4 in verse 11. Ephesians 4 in verse 11, because we see the same exact thing in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. That it's Yeshua who indeed has assigned some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we may all come to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah, so that we may no longer be children, being blown and carried away by every wind of false doctrine of men, who through their craftiness are so very skillful in deceiving the people. So Yeshua put elders, and if this was written 2,000 years ago, how much more today? Because there is way more false doctrine, there's way more confusion. And what does it say here? It's saying that the elders are there to keep order in the congregation, and that people won't be going around by every false wind of doctrine. Exactly what we're saying today. So if we ever needed elders, we need them today. And people that will go against the elder, you're disloyal. You know, and I can tell you, I'm no idea how many times in Babylon, not in third world countries, but in Babylon, that I'm at a meeting somewhere, public meeting, and I'll meet somebody for the first time that will say, oh, you know, I read your book, or, you know, The Great Falling Away, or came to the website, and it opened my mind to the truth. Thank you so much for doing that, but I want to let you know, I don't agree with everything you say. Well, okay, that's fine, but why would you, how is that an opening statement to the head of the congregation coming from Jerusalem? What you're basically saying is, I'm disloyal. You know, I'll glean off you, and I'll listen to what you have to say here and there, but I'm not going to be loyal to you. You know, there's people that leave our congregation that actually, they leave the congregation and they let it be known that I believe in all the lessons, I believe in all the doctrine, I believe in everything, but I don't believe in you. Well, do you realize that all of the doctrine came from me? From Yahweh, of course, he inspired it, but he inspired it through me. No other congregation has our 23 lessons. No other congregation has all the information on the covenants that we have. No other congregation has its leadership based in Jerusalem. So how can you believe that Yahweh inspired everything through me, but you don't want to believe in the leadership? Because of disloyalty, it's that simple. Because there's people, and it's mostly in Western society, I don't have this problem in third world countries, we have roughly 240 to 250 elders working with me and working under me that are totally in judicial order. And I mean, their loyalty is there, and my loyalty is back to them. I will do anything to help these people, to serve these people. I travel everywhere in the world, and the people know it. But sometimes in Western society, we've had people that, you know, pride has come in, and it stops them from being loyal. So they want to make it known that they want to believe in the doctrine, but they don't want to believe in the one who Yahweh put to bring the doctrine. And all that is, it's disloyalty. John 13 and verse 20. John 13 and verse 20. And like I said, this is something that will keep you out of the kingdom. John 13 and verse 20 says, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who receives whomever I may send receives me. And the one who receives me receives the one who sent me. The one who receives whomever I may send receives me. So if you don't receive the one that Yeshua is sending, if you don't receive the elders that he's ordaining, then you're not receiving him. You know, it's that simple. So this whole Laodicean ploy, you know, ruled by the people, and people not wanting to be part of congregations, wanting to be rebellious, wanting to do their own thing, that is a one-way ticket to the lake of fire. You may get away with it for a few years in the Laodicean era, but it will not lead to eternal life in the kingdom of Yahweh. This our time now, like I said, life is a test, and that test is to see, will we be faithful to Yahweh? Will we be faithful to His Torah? Will we be faithful to the people that He's placed in leadership in the congregation? Or are we going to go our own way? Are we going to think we know better than Yahweh knows? And then the next verse says, saying these things, Yeshua was troubled in spirit and testified and said, indeed, I tell you truly that one of you will betray me. So right after He says, unless you accept the one I send, then you don't accept me. He says, somebody is a traitor. Who's the traitor? The one that's not accepting the leaders that Yeshua sends out into the world. And like it says, how can you love Yahweh who you've not seen if you don't love your brother who you have seen? How could you say that you obey Yeshua who you haven't seen if you can't obey the elder that you have seen? It's that simple. Because Yeshua set the people. Matthew 8 and verse 5. Because you know something, this is a very interesting story. It's with Yeshua and the centurion, a Roman soldier, right? And look at the story that happens, Matthew 8 and verse 5. And Yeshua entering into Capernaum, a centurion came near to Him begging Him and saying, Master, my child has been laid sick in the house, paralyzed and seriously in pain. And Yeshua said to him, I will come and heal him. And answering the centurion said, Master, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only speak a word and my child will be healed. Well, can you imagine? This isn't a Jewish believer. This is a Roman centurion, and the Romans are persecuting the Jews, even killing Jews, right? And here is this Roman soldier that has all these soldiers under him is saying, I'm not even worthy that you, Yeshua, should come under my roof. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under myself. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it, right? So he has people over him telling him what to do, and he follows the judicial order, and he has people under him. And he says, go and do this, and they follow. That's judicial order. There always has to be a line of command, or it's not going to be judicial order. And look at what Yeshua says. Is he against this? No. Hearing, Yeshua marveled and said to those following, truly I say to you, not even in Israel did I find such faith. Wow. In this clear set example of judicial order, Yeshua is saying, I haven't in all Israel found faith like this. Somebody that can follow the command of the judicial order that Yahweh set up. And then he says, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom, meaning non-Israelites, right? But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out in outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Yeshua says to the centurion, go as you believed it will be, and his child was healed in that moment. Wow. So we see very clearly, there's always a chain of command. There's always judicial order. You know, in Luke it says some will be over 10 cities, some over 5 cities. That according to how much we surrender and how humble we are, according to our ability to serve will be our ability to where Yahweh puts us in the kingdom. And the more humble we are, and the more that we're lowering ourselves, the more that Yeshua can use us to serve. Like he says, he who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. But those that separate themselves, those that can't be under anybody's authority, those that only want to do their own way, those that if they don't get their own way, they're just going to quit or go on their own. Where will you be? Where on earth will you be? You can't be in the kingdom. Because it is treason before Yahweh. And in the Laodicean era, we have to start realizing. You know, remember, the Laodicean thinks he's rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. But Yahweh says he's poor, he's blind, he's miserable and naked. And the Laodicean really has to humble himself and come before Yahweh and think about, are you really being loyal to Yahweh and the leadership he set? Or are you only being loyal to yourself and your own whims, your own self-ambitions, your own self-preservation? Proverbs 11:13 says, one going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful of spirit keeps a matter hidden. You know, it's the very premise of elderhood, is being able to keep a confidence. And if somebody can't be hold a confidence, he certainly doesn't qualify to be an elder. But every brother or sister should be this way. One going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful of spirit keeps a matter hidden. It's loyalty. For somebody to share something with you privately about themselves or their situation, and to go out and gossip and repeat to somebody, that is about as disloyal as you can get. It's about as disloyal as you can get. And I'll tell you something, even within the congregation at times, there's people that wouldn't gossip against me or the leadership, but they'll hear other people will come to them gossiping against me or the leadership, and they don't say anything. That's disloyalty. It's being disloyal. Because you know what you're being loyal to? You're being loyal to the gossiper. You're being loyal to the false story instead of being loyal to Yahweh and his leadership. And unfortunately, when it comes to loyalty, yes, you do have to take sides. But there's only one side we should always be taking, the side of Yahweh, the side of truth, the side of righteousness. That's the side we take. And when somebody is bringing gossip to you and you hear that gossip and you don't do anything about it, you know what I do when someone brings gossip to me? I tell them right away, either you're going to go to this person and tell them yourself what you just said, or I'm going to them and telling them. And sometimes someone is counseling, they'll say, you know, but so-and-so did this. And I'll say, yeah, but you just brought an accusation against somebody. You can't bring me as an elder an accusation against somebody and me just act like it never happened. No, you either have to bring that accusation against this person, or I'm going to tell them that you brought the accusation, because it's not fair. If it's true what the person is saying, then it's not fair to the person who's sinning. And if it's not true, it's not fair to the person who is being falsely accused. So again, you don't want to be with somebody who has loose lips, somebody who is a slanderer. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for distress. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for distress. And you know something, like they say, you realize your friends not through all the good times, because everybody loves a party. You realize who your true friends are during the hard times, because it's the people who stick by you during the hard times that you know are really your friends, right? A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for distress. And it's those people, while you're having those tough times, that really stick by you and are loyal, that you see that are really your friends. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man of friends may be broken up, but there is a lover who sticks closer than a brother. A man of friends may be broken up, but there is a lover who sticks closer than a brother. So again, it's not the quantity of friends you have, but the quality of friends. So there could be somebody out there who's the life of the party, and he may have a lot of different friends, right? But these aren't people that are really going to stick next to him. A man of many friends may be broken up, but there's a lover who sticks closer than a brother. And that's what we really see. What we see is, if you look at loyalty equals, in one word, loyalty equals love. It's that simple. The more you love somebody, the more loyal you're going to be toward that person. You know, the more love that you have toward someone or something, the more loyal you're going to be. And if you're not being loyal to Yahweh, you really have to think, are you really loving Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? The message I gave last year that you should listen to if you haven't. But loyalty equals love. And the inner circle you have in your life, the people that are the closest to you, should be the most loyal. You know, I'm not ashamed to say it. I will not put people close to me that I can't trust. Why would I want to? Why on earth would I want to give authority over to people to put a knife in my back and be disloyal? No, I want to put people closest to me. My inner circle, and I have a great inner circle. You know, we have the International Council of Elders, which all those people are extremely loyal and smart and good advice. And we glean off each other all the time. And I'm very, very happy that I have these people. And I have other people in my life too, that I know are loyal, that I know give good advice in the multitude of counsel, their safety. And that's what we want. We want to make sure that we're putting people closest to us that are the most loyal. And like I said, loyalty equals love. Let's go to 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. And I don't think you can get a better story in the Bible, example of loyalty, when you're looking at Jonathan and David. I mean, here is just loyalty, the epitome of loyalty. Loyalty that we see that, wow, this is real loyalty. This is real loyalty. 1 Samuel 18, and it happened when he finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knitted with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. Jonathan loved David like he was himself. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house, took David. And Jonathan and David cut a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped off the robe on him and he gave it to David also as apparel, even to his sword and to his bow and to his belt. They cut covenant, you know? And when you're talking about the word friend, in Bible times, friend today, we use it loosely. Even you go in the store, hi friend, can I help you with something? In the Bible, a friend was someone you were in covenant with. A friend was somebody that you had this loyal relationship with, not just anybody you would call friend. But here is Jonathan and David that had this unbelievable friendship and loyalty and cared for each other. And there was nothing in the world that was going to break that up. And that's the way life is, that when there are true friendships, you know, Satan will try. But if it's a true friendship, there's nothing that Satan or anybody in the world can do that can break up a true friendship. Drop down to chapter 20, verse 12. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 12. We see again, and Jonathan said to David, Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, be witness when I search my father about this time tomorrow or the third day, and behold, there is a good toward David, and I do not send to you and do not reveal in your ear. So what's happening here? This is where Saul decides he's going to kill David. Jonathan doesn't know this yet, so he's trying to find out what's going on. But Jonathan's telling David, even though Saul is my father, I am loyal to you over him. And why? Because Jonathan knew that Yahweh sent David there to replace his father. So here it is, this loyalty and this relationship was built on both David and Jonathan's loyalty to Yahweh first. But Jonathan was even more loyal to David than his own father. Verse 13, so may Yahweh do to Jonathan and do much more than this. If it should seem good to my father to do evil to you, then I will reveal it in your ear and send you away. And you shall go in peace, and may Yahweh be with you as he was with my father. So like I said, his loyalty is even above David than his own father. And not only while I live, even you shall do with me the kindness of Yahweh that I not die. But you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. Not even when Yahweh cuts off the enemies of David, each one off the face of the earth. And Jonathan coveted it with the house of David, that Yahweh should seek it from the hand of David's enemy. And Jonathan again made David swear because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Wow. Here it is. They had such a relationship there. And this is what the kingdom is about. In the kingdom, every relationship will be like this. You know, now, why can't people be loyal? Because they've never seen loyalty in their life. They don't even know what loyalty is. But when we look at a relationship like Jonathan and David, in the kingdom, everyone will be like that. Everyone will have that loyalty and that friendship toward each other, as we're seeing here. But you have to start consciously thinking this way. Because if not, you don't want to allow the Laodicean spirit to make you into a traitor or to make you disloyal to Yahweh. Drop down to verse 41 over here. So now what happens? Jonathan goes and finds out that what David was saying is right, that Saul is going to try to kill him, and this is where we pick it up. And then David rose up, verse 41, from the south side, and he fell on his face to the ground, and he bowed three times. And they each one kissed his friend. Each one kissed his friend. Because, like I said, this word friend meant covenant relationship. It meant their loyalty to each other. It meant this special relationship. And they each wept on his friend until David was overcome. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, because we have sworn, the two of us, in the name of Yahweh, saying, Yahweh shall be between you and me, and between my seed and your seed forever. And he rose up and went, and Jonathan went into the city. And I'll tell you something. When Jonathan died, David was never the same person again. They had such this friendship. The Bible says even more than between a man and a woman, that after Jonathan died, David was just never the same person again. But David kept this vow to the day he died. David sought out anyone from Jonathan's family. He sought out Jonathan's son, you know, that was crippled, and helped him. And to the day that David died, he was honored and loyal to this commitment that he made with Jonathan. What a great example. What a great example. And how foolish it is of people to doubt Yahweh and go against his judicial order and the leadership he set for their own selfish ambitions. This is the loyalty we need to get into the kingdom. And like I said, unfortunately, sometimes, yes, sometimes there is a choice when it comes to loyalty. But the choice always has to be on the side of righteousness and truth and the side of Yahweh. That's where loyalty always has to be. Now let's look at another situation. Go to 2 Samuel 15. Because now we see David's son, Absalom, who is totally disloyal to his own father, to David. And for what? For his own selfish ambitions. I'm not going to get into the whole story of why. But Absalom, you know, because what happened to his sister and David never dealt with it. And yes, was there child-rearing problems with David? Absolutely. We went into that in another sermon. But for Absalom to build all of this bitterness over years and then to finally come back and to try to get the people in the kingdom against David, not only being his own father, but the very person that Yahweh set over that kingdom, is about as treasonous as you can get. And that's why, even though David didn't want Absalom hurt, Joab knew this guy's got to go. Because, like I said, it's a character trait. And if it's a character trait of you being disloyal, unfortunately, it's probably never going to change. And that's what it was. It wasn't something that when Absalom saw that he lost, he can come back now and shake hands with David and be loyal. It wasn't going to be that way. Nope. If you have a disloyal spirit and you lose today, you'll try again tomorrow and you'll try again the next day. And you'll keep trying until the day that Yahweh will take you out, like what happened with King Saul. But it is a character trait. Disloyalty is a character trait, and so is loyalty a character trait. So 2 Samuel 15 and verse 12. And David has this this counselor, Ahithophel, who is a really, really wise counselor, has very good decision making. And this guy now is going to be disloyal to David, and he's going to go with Absalom. You know why? Because Ahithophel is an opportunist. And unfortunately, there's a lot of opportunists in the congregation. There's people who have joined our congregation with one thing in mind, ordination. From the day they came in, you can see it. They wanted to be ordained. And when it didn't happen, they left. I had one guy actually tell me, hey, you're not the only game in town. If you don't ordain me, I'll go somewhere else. And you know what I say? There's the door. Don't let it hit you. You know where. Because you're not going to pull that. You're not going to pull that in the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Ordination comes when somebody is qualified, when Yahweh sent somebody, and if they're not qualified anymore, then they're not going to be recognized anymore as an elder. It's that simple. But you have people like this Ahithophel who are totally disloyal, that are, again, they're after self-ambition and preservation. There's people who come in the congregation, they'll serve, and then make them an usher. Or give them a little bit of a job and they become like a Nazi. All of a sudden now the love and the service isn't there anymore. And it doesn't work that way. You're not kidding anybody. And even if you kidded me for some reason and you were made an usher or a deacon or an elder, you're not kidding Yahweh. And if you're not fulfilling that job, then Yahweh is not going to, you know, take care of you. But let's read it here. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 12. Absalom sent Ahithophel, a Gilonite, a counselor of David, out of his city, out to Gilo, as he offered the sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong against David. And the people were going and increasing with Absalom. How horrible. How disloyal. And a messenger came to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. And David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, rise up, and we will flee, for we have no escape from the face of Absalom. Hurry to leave, that he not overtake us and bring evil down on us, and strike the city with the edge of the sword. So now David is going to flee over here. As he's fleeing, drop down to verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, oh, Yahweh, I pray to you, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolish. Because it doesn't matter how wise someone is in the flesh, nobody is wiser than Yahweh. And all we know is from beginning to end, David is a man after the heart of Yahweh. Yahweh set David up. The leadership there, Yahweh is with him. And it doesn't matter who's going to come against David. It ain't going to work the same way here. This work from Israel, it's not a work of me or a work of man. It's the work of Yahweh. This is Yahweh. Prophecy is being fulfilled. This is Yahweh's end time work being done in Jerusalem and around the world. And today it could be me. Tomorrow it could be somebody else. That's up to Yahweh. But as long as I'm the leader in this work, Yahweh's hand is there. And I've been doing this now for more than 20 years. And all the miracles, everything that Yahweh's done is evident. You know? So if somebody wants to come against this work from Jerusalem, he's coming against Yahweh. It's that simple. And Yahweh will handle it. I feel like King David, you know? I don't have to come against anybody. Yahweh will handle it. And I've seen it in 100 different ways. But it's the same way here. You come against that work like Ahithophel, who's an opportunist, who's a traitor, who's disloyal, and you're going to pay the consequences. And as it happened, verse 32, David had come to the top. He's going over the Mount of Olives. And there he bowed to Elohim, and behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him, his tunic torn and earth on his head. So now, Yahweh's allowing this. You know why? Because even like in the congregation, Yahweh allows things sometimes to test people's loyalty. So when a situation happens in the congregation, Yahweh's testing, whose loyalty are you going to be on? Whose side are you going to be on? And here, David's seeing, who are his friends? And who are the guys that are opportunists that need to go? And David said to him, if you pass on with me to Hushai, you shall be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I also will be your servant, O king. I was servant to your father before now, and now I am also your servant. Then you could break down the counsel of Ahithophel for me. So Hushai, who is loyal to David, he's going to do whatever David says, and that's what he's going to do here. So let's go to 2 Samuel 16, and let's see what happens. Now he comes in Hushai comes in before Absalom. 16:16. And it happened when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, right? Remember that word friend is used here, had come to Absalom. Hushai said to Absalom, "Let the king live, let the king live." And Absalom said to Hushai, "Is this your kindness with your friend? Why have you not gone with your friend?" Right? This is what Absalom's asking him. How could you be so disloyal? How could you be so double-minded when this guy was your covenant friend? And Hushai, of course, is lying to him because he's helping David. And look what happens. And Hushai says to Absalom, "No, for he whom Yahweh and his people have chosen, even all the men of Israel, his I shall be, and I shall remain with him. And a second time, whom should I serve? Should I not serve before the face of his son? As I serve before the face of your father, so I shall be before your face." So here it is. Why does Absalom believe him? Now, if this was me, there's no way I'd believe him, because I understand loyalty. And I would know, there's no way Hushai is going against David. This is a trap, right? Why didn't Absalom see that? Because Absalom is disloyal. Absalom is disloyal, so he can't tell the difference of somebody that's loyal from somebody that's a traitor. And unfortunately, in the world today, if you're disloyal, you won't be able to see it either. You'll only see what's right before you. You'll only see somebody maybe being nice to you to get against somebody else or even against a leader. But that's not the way it is. You have to see who is going against Yahweh and his leadership and who's not. And if someone is going against Yahweh and his leadership, no matter who they are, then that's somebody you got to put out of your life. And Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give your counsel what we shall do." And Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, those he left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that you have become odious with your father, and the hands who are all on you will be strong." So here it is. What is Ahithophel's counsel? His counsel is even be more disloyal. Let everybody know how evil and wicked you are against David, and then they'll all come to your side, not out of love, but out of fear. See, love equals loyalty. And the more you love someone, the more loyal you'll be. But also, you might be loyal to somebody out of fear, right? Look at North Korea. These people are loyal to Kim Jong-un and his father before him, Kim Jong-il, not because they love him, but out of fear. And would you rather have somebody loyal to you out of love or out of fear? Because if you're loyal out of fear, like we saw with Saddam Hussein, the minute that fear is gone, the loyalty goes. Look at Gaddafi, right? They were loyal to him out of fear. The minute that the fear left, they took his body on the streets and they mauled him. So you want real loyalty. You want to be loyal to Yahweh because of your love for Yahweh. It's not, you don't want to be loyal simply because you fear the consequences of what's going to happen. So what happens next? We know. Hushai, who is the real friend of David, did break down the counsel of Ahithophel. Ahithophel's counsel was not taken. And what happens? Chapter 17 and verse 23. Chapter 17 and verse 23. And Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not done. And he saddled his donkey and rose up and went to his house, to his city. And he gave command to his household. Then he hanged himself and died. And he was buried in the burying place of his father. So, you know, the other thing is, sometimes people will be offended when their counsel isn't taken or when they want something done and it's not taken. Look at Ahithophel. Why would he kill himself? Can you imagine? This guy had so much pride that simply because his counsel wasn't taken, he killed himself. He actually went out and killed himself. And how many times do people leave the congregation over a doctrine or something and they're wrong? They think their pride so much thinks they're right, and because their counsel wasn't taken, they wind up leaving. And my question is, where do you go when you leave Yahweh's congregation? I can understand if you were Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventist and Mormon or whatever you were beforehand, because it's a road that you take to the truth. But where do you go once you get to the truth? Where do you go when you've been to Mount Zion? You know, the last step of a believer coming to the truth is Jerusalem. That's the last step, Mount Zion. That's our eternal inheritance. So where do you go from Mount Zion? There's only one way to go. There's only one way to go, and that's down. Like Ahithophel. You know, wind up committing suicide, and out of disloyalty took his life. Disloyalty will kill you. You know, it will convict your conscience and it will kill you. And like I said, why does our way have to be chosen? And I'll tell you something, over the years, you know, not just Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, but all the parts of Yahweh's congregation, I've seen statistics that suicide rate is extremely high for people that leave the truth. Because you're tortured. Where do you go from when you have the truth? So it's really an example here. John 6 and verse 53. John 6 and verse 53. Because you know something, you may think your way is right, but how do you know? How do you know? The Laodicean thinks he's rich and increased with goods and needed nothing. He doesn't know he's poor, he's blind and miserable and naked. And maybe you are wrong, you know? And where do you go when you leave the truth? John 6 and verse 53. Yeshua said to them, now here's Yeshua preaching to his disciples. Truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. The one partaking of my flesh and drinking of my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my body is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He who eats my body and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Wow. Now let me tell you something. For somebody who studied congregational history and culture of Israel and the Bible for more than 30 years, this, to a Jew in the first century, was about the most offensive thing anybody could ever say. Cannibalism. And this was going on in Israel. There was sacrificing of children. There was all kinds of false deities. There was cannibalism going on in some of these false religions. And for Yeshua to come out, now we know what he meant. He's talking about the Passover. He's talking about the symbolism of it. But how do they know that, right? They're just hearing this. Eat his body, drink his blood. What's going on with this person? But you know what? They also saw the miracles. They knew he was the Messiah. So don't get bent out of shape. Why didn't they just trust that he would explain? Because if he really was the Messiah, he wasn't going to be preaching cannibalism. But look what happens next. Even as the living Father sent me, and I live through the Father, also the one partaking me, even that one will live through me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and died. The one partaking of this bread will live forever. And he said these things, teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. Then many of his disciples, having heard, they said, this word is hard. Who's able to bear it? But knowing in himself that his disciples were murmuring about this, Yeshua said to him, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascending to the place where he was before? What if you see him going up to heaven? Will you believe then, even though you don't understand? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit nothing. The words which I speak to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who are not believing, for Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were, the ones not believing, and who was the one betraying him. Because doubt will lead to disloyalty. One doubt will lead to another doubt and to another doubt. And that's why if you're a loyal person and you're believing, don't be around somebody with doubt. Don't listen. Don't give your ear to these people that are ploys of Satan to only get you to doubt the truth. Because where are you going to go? Like I said, where do you go from the truth, right? And he said, because of this, I have told you that no one is able to come to me unless it is given to him by my Father. Because of this saying, many of his disciples turned their backs and did not walk with him. Wow. Over a misunderstanding of doctrine. He wasn't talking about literally eating his body and blood. He's talking about the Passover. What his shed blood and what his broken body meant. But they didn't understand. So instead of asking Yahweh for understanding, instead of trusting in Yahweh, they left the truth and turned back. Therefore, Yeshua said to the 12, do you wish to go too? Then Simon Peter answered, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. Like I said, where do you go when you've been to Mount Zion? Where do you go from there? And we have believed and have known that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. Yeshua answered him, did I not choose you the 12, yet one of you is a devil. Because there was one there who was not loyal. There was one there who was a traitor, who walked with him for 2 years, who sat at his table, right? Who came to him with the kiss on his cheek in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was a traitor. He was disloyal. And it was a character trait. Wasn't disloyal at a time of weakness. It was a character trait. One of you is a devil. But he spoke of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, for this one was about to betray him, being one of the 12. And you could see why. You can't have disloyalty around you. Like with Absalom. It started out very small. He sat in the gate. He looked for people who were murmuring against the king, right? And he tried to build a spirit of discontent against King David. And anybody out there doing the same thing, you know, it doesn't matter. You could be an elder or you could be just a brother or sister. It makes no difference. It's treason to Yahweh. It's literally treason to Yahweh to bring a spirit of discontent or try to bring it in the congregation. Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20, 1 through 5. Because you know something? When you see this and you keep your mouth shut and you say, well, I don't want to take sides, then you are literally as disloyal as the person who's doing it. Leviticus 20, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, and you shall say to the sons of Israel, any man of the sons of Israel and of the aliens who are living in Israel who give his seed to Moloch shall certainly be put to death. The people of the land will stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and shall cut him off from the midst of his people, for he has given of his seed to Moloch so as to defile my sanctuary and pollute my name. And if the people of the land truly hide their eyes from that man as he gives his seed to Moloch so as not to put him to death, then I shall set my face against that man and against his family, and shall cut him off, and all who go whoring after him, go whoring after Moloch from the midst of their people. In verse 7, and you shall sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am Yahweh your Elohim. So right here, Yahweh says, you see evil being done, and you keep your mouth shut, you are an accomplice to the crime. You're just as guilty as the person who's doing it. You know, unfortunately, nobody likes taking sides. But unfortunately, when it comes to loyalty, we have to take a side. And I say from the time of, I've always been a loyal person. Praise Yahweh. I grew up in a loyal family. I learned loyalty at a young age. And I know what loyalty is. And I know people that are loyal and I know people that are disloyal. And I know one thing, I'm not afraid to show my loyalty. Because people that are loyal to me, like Yahweh says, he says, the ones that are loyal to me, I'll be loyal to you for 1,000 generations. But the ones that are disloyal, you know, you're going to bear the curses. Yahweh is a loyal Elohim, but he's not loyal to those who are disloyal, to those that are traitorous, those that are rebellious. And for us, he wants to see in the congregation, where do we stand? And like I said, you listen to gossip and you don't say anything, you're partaking in the evil. In the same way, somebody's talking against an elder, talking against the congregation, and you're not going to either force that person to tell or tell the person, then you're partaking in it. And that's disloyalty. But since we, like I said, since we live in a culture of disloyalty, most people don't even understand that that's disloyal. They don't even understand that if we do anything against Yahweh, his doctrine, his leadership, in any way, that we're being disloyal. Sometimes, you know, when somebody is put out of the congregation for a different reason, we've heard people say, you know, well, I never saw the person do that. What does that comment say? When somebody's been put out of the congregation for whatever reason, and somebody arrogantly makes a comment like that, I never saw the person do that. Well, number one, if the person never saw the person do it, that's why they're not called as a witness. You know, when a person is put out of the congregation, he's accused of something, and then you bring witnesses, and then you bring it before the congregation, and then you make a judgment. So if someone says, well, I never saw that, yeah, that's why you weren't called as a witness, because you didn't see it. But to make a comment like that, you know what you're doing? You're judging the witnesses because you're insinuating that they're liars, and you're judging the leadership in the congregation because you're insinuating that they're making a wrong judgment. And that's disloyal, it's treasonous, and it's sin. Because what that's doing is trying to bring a spirit of doubt in the other people. And you want to know something? I never want to put somebody out of the congregation. At times you have to. You have no other choice. You have people that sin, they don't repent, they won't take responsibility for their sin, and they have no other choice. And like I said, first it goes to the local elders, it's brought before witnesses, and then if it has to come to me, it has to come to me. But it's always done by the evidence that are before and by the witnesses. And if you have five or six witnesses in a case and all the evidence that somebody's guilty, then what more do you need to know? You don't let something linger around. You make the decision and you move on. And you hope the person repents. And if the person does repent, you restore them in the congregation and you forget it as that it never happened. But that's the way it works in Yahweh's congregation. But for somebody who was not a witness and not part there to make these kind of comments, you're being disloyal. You're being disloyal toward Yahweh and you're being disloyal toward the judicial process that Yahweh put there. You know, and whatever that process is at the end, whatever the decision is made, we all have to follow it, whether we like it or not. Like it says in Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 13, you know, if something is too hard, you bring it to the leaders in Jerusalem. They make the decision and you don't question. You don't look to the right or the left. You follow the decision and you trust in Yahweh. That's what loyalty is. And that's what judicial order is. Number 16, because when we look and we see, like I said, there's people that will hear this and they'll have no idea what I'm saying because they have a disloyal spirit. And then there's others that will be convicted of what loyalty is and want to be more loyal. But number 16, this is when Korah, right? Korah comes up with Abiram and Dathan and On, and they rose before Moses with certain of the sons of Israel, 250 rulers of the congregation, elect men of the assembly, men of name. So these were like elders, right? These are men of name in the congregation. And they were assembled against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "You take too much, for all the congregation, all of them are holy, and Yahweh is among them. Why do you lift yourself above the assembly of Yahweh?" Wow. And we see here that Moses wasn't doing that. But these were men that allowed pride to come in. Moses was the leader. Yahweh was with him. Yahweh were doing these things. And these other men were jealous. They were jealous. They wanted part of the power that they perceived that Moses had. And what were they doing? They were bringing rebellion. This is treason. Because Yahweh put Moses there. Yahweh was with him. And these people are saying, "Oh no, Yahweh's with us too." And let's look what happens. Go down to verse 20. "And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'Separate yourself from the midst of this company, and I will consume them in a moment.'" So when people are coming against either myself and the leadership from Jerusalem or against local eldership, this is what Yahweh's saying. I'm not with those people. I am not with these people who think I'm with them. Get away from them, because I'm going to get rid of them. Verse 23. "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the congregation, saying, You get away from around the tent of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.' And Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel went after him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, 'Please turn away from the tents of these wicked men, and do not touch anything that they have, lest you be consumed in their sins.'" Wow, this is what it's about. This is what judicial order is, and this is what loyalty is. That, like I said, it was with King David, it was with the apostles, and nothing's changed today. Yahweh has elders still today all over the world. Yahweh has an end time work in Jerusalem that he's working, that he currently has me there as the leader. And like I said, Yahweh placed me there, not man. It's that simple. And everybody has free will, and they can choose whether they want to believe that or not. And the ones in our congregation are ones that do believe it. But every now and then you have people coming into the congregation who don't believe it. And they're coming for other reasons. They're coming for names of people. They're coming because they're lonely. They're coming for fellowship. And for our brethren, look out. Because when you see people like this that are going to backbite the leadership and have their own agenda or bring in false doctrine only because they're tares among wheat, you have to reject them. You have to reject them. Because somebody that is causing conspiracy and treason against the very leader that Yahweh placed in Jerusalem, that's somebody you can't have anything to do with. And that's part of loyalty. It's either character trait or a lack of it. Now drop down to verse 32. "And the earth opened their mouth and swallowed them and their houses and all the men who were with Korah in their possessions. And they went down, they and all they had alive, to Sheol. And the earth covered them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, 'Lest the earth swallow us.' And fire came forth from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men that offered the incense." Wow. So look at this story, right? These men arrogantly come before Moses, trying to usurp his authority that Yahweh gave them, not man. Yahweh comes and says, "Get away from these guys. I'm gonna take care of this." Moses tells the people, "Look, if they die a normal death, then you know that you know, that they weren't wrong. But if something new happens that never happens and the earth opens up and swallows them in, then you know that Yahweh is doing this and these men are judged. That exactly happens. So what do you think happens from here? Do you think the people are going to apologize to Moses and say, well, we're really, really sorry that, you know, that we didn't trust you, or that... Look what happens next. Go to verse 41. And the congregation of the sons of Israel murmured on the next day against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of Yahweh. Can you imagine how evil, disloyal? This is why a whole generation perished in the wilderness. Because these people, even at this point, instead of repenting and apologizing to Moses for their treason, they're justifying themselves and blaming Moses that Moses killed these people. And it happened as the company was called together against Moses and against Aaron, and they turned toward the tent of the meeting, and behold, a cloud had covered it, and the glory of Yahweh appeared. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, get away from the midst of this company, and I shall consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. I'm telling you, this is so serious, because you have to, I say this out of love to the brethren, if there are people who are traitorous, if there are people who have a spirit of discontent, and it doesn't even affect them, you know, and they think they're right, you have to separate from them. You have to separate from them, because Yahweh is not with these people. Yahweh is with the leadership he set. Yahweh is with the loyalty of the people that are given loyalty to him. And like I said, you have to separate yourself. And there's nobody that Satan can use more than disloyal people. There's nobody who can play in the hands of Satan more than people who are disloyal, disgruntled, and particularly if they have a root of bitterness, then they almost become like a demon in the flesh. But this is what it's about. Let's continue in Matthew 26 and verse 24. Matthew 26 and verse 24. Because now let's look at somebody who we talked about a little bit before, Judas. Judas, who was a traitor and lost his eternal life over that. Matthew 26, 24. Indeed, the Son of Man goes as it has been written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It were good for him if that man was never born. In answering, the traitor Judas said, is it I, Rabbi? And he said, you have said it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a traitor. He was a traitor. And this was not something that was a small thing. This was a character flaw that he had. And like Yeshua said, it was better if he was never born than what he did. That he walked with Yeshua for 2 years, was with him, saw the love Yeshua had, saw that he was the son of Elohim, and still was a traitor behind his back. Matthew 27 and verse 3. Matthew 27 verse 3. Then Judas the traitor, if you notice, every time they mention his name, they call him what he was, disloyal traitor. Seeing that he was condemned, repenting, returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I sinned, betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? You see to it. And tossing the silver pieces into the sanctuary, he left, and going away, he hung himself. And some people might wonder, but he repented. Why wouldn't Yahweh accept his repentance? Because he didn't really repent. He was not sorry for what he did. He was sorry of the consequences. He was sorry he got caught. And this wasn't a one-time thing where he did something wrong and he had to repent. This was a character flaw that he had. It was a character flaw. And you want to know something? Suicide is the most selfish thing in the world that somebody can do. Because all you're doing is pity partying yourself, and you're not thinking what you're going to do to your parents, to your wife or husband, to your children, to all those people. The one who's going to have to find you, right? Wherever you kill yourself, and is going to have to bury you. It is the most selfish, self-centered act that a person can do, is suicide. So Judas, by far, Judas is not repenting. He's giving worldly repentance. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10, he says, now I rejoice that not that you were grieved, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were grieved over the things of Yahweh, so that you lacked nothing from us. For sorrow over the things of Yahweh works enduring repentance of the soul that brings one to life. But the sorrow over the things of the world causes death. So, yeah, sorrow for hurting Yahweh, sorrow of real repentance brings eternal life. But just being sorry of the consequences, that's worldly sorrow. That's the sorrow that Esau had. Esau wasn't sorry that he violated Yahweh and was disloyal by giving up the birthright. Esau was jealous that his brother had something he didn't have. It was that simple. So, look at John 12. John 12 and verse 3. Then taking a pound of ointment of pure costly spikenard, Miriam anointed the feet of Yeshua and wiped off his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then Simon's son, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" But he said this not that he was caring for the poor, but he was a thief and held the money bag and carried away the things put in. See, he had a great character flaw. He had a character flaw for worldliness, for money, for jealousy. And that character flaw was his very downfall, brought him to death. And he was disloyal. He was disloyal. Now, on the other end, look at Peter. Let's go to Matthew 26 and verse 69. Look at Peter, because people say, well, what about Peter? Wasn't Peter disloyal? Matthew 26 and verse 69. And Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and one girl came near to him saying, "And you were with Yeshua the Galilean." But he denied before all, saying, "I do not know what you say." And he, going out into the porch, another saw him and said to those, "And this one was with Yeshua the Nazarene." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a little coming near, those standing by said to Peter, "Truly, you are one of them, for even your speech makes you known." Then he began to curse and to swear and said, "I do not know the man." And immediately a cock crowed. And Peter recalled the word of Yeshua, saying to him, "Before a cock crows, you will deny me three times." And going out, he wept bitterly. See, Peter had real repentance. Peter, in a moment of fear and weakness, sinned against Yeshua. But then he really repented. And remember, he showed it in the rest of his life. And a matter of fact, the way Peter died was when he was in Rome. The Romans were coming to get him, and they got him out of the city and got him away. And at the city gate, he saw Yeshua there. And he said to Yeshua, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I came to die again." And Peter realized that he was talking about Peter dying now. And Peter went back to the city and allowed them to crucify him. And he said, "I'm so lower than my master Yeshua. I don't want to be crucified the same way he died." And he asked them to crucify him upside down, which they did. So yes, Peter sinned in a moment of weakness the same way David sinned in a moment of weakness. But their character flaw was one of loyalty, and their character flaw was one of true repentance. And that's the difference. With Simon, Judas Iscariot, it wasn't. Judas Iscariot had a character flaw of disloyalty. And like I said, it will keep you out of the kingdom. Hosea 6, 2 and 3. He talks about, after 2 days he will bring us to life, and the third day he will raise us up again, and we will live before him, right? 2,000 years, a day is as 1,000 years. We're going into the third day or the third millennium since Yeshua has been here, and we'll live before him. And look what he says in verse 3. Then you will know, we who follow on to know Yahweh, his going forth is established as the dawn, and he will come to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain on the earth. We talked about this at Shavuot. But look at verse 6. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. They have acted like traitors against me there. So Yeshua is clearly saying, do you want to be part of this latter rain that's starting to happen? It's happening now. Where is it happening? It's happening in Philippines. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in third world places because people are loyal. Because they're humbling themselves. That's why the kibbutz is working. And if you want to be part of the latter rain, you have to get this self-mindset, this of self-ambition and self-preservation. And you have to humble yourself and be loyal to Yahweh and loyal and subservient to the leadership that Yahweh put there. And if not, you risk your whole eternity. You will not be in the kingdom unless you're able to do that. Jeremiah 35 and verse 12. Just a few more scriptures and we'll be ending up here. Because this is an amazing story of the Rechabites who were Kenites, right? Remember the Rechabites who were Kenites? And look at the loyalty that they had and how Yahweh rewarded them. Jeremiah 35 and verse 12. Then the word of Yahweh was to Jeremiah saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to listen to my words, says Yahweh? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, you know, the Kenite, are done, in which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, and to this day they do not drink, but obey their father's command. Wow, what loyalty, right? But I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, and you did not listen to me. I have also sent to you all my servants and prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, each man now turn back from his evil way, and amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them, and you shall live in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But you have not bowed your ear nor listened to me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the sons of Rechab, have stood on the command of their father, which he gave them. But this people has not listened to me. So while he's saying that these Rechabites were loyal to their father, who wasn't even a, you know, a Levite or nothing, and yet his people are not loyal to him. So Yahweh Elohim of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, says this: Behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the people of Jerusalem all the evil that I have spoken against them, because I have spoken to them, but they did not listen, they were not loyal. Yea, I have called to them, but they did not answer. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, So says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, Because you have obeyed your father Jonadab's command, and have kept all his commands, and have done according to all that he commanded you. So Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, says this: Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not have a man cut off from standing before me all the days. And that's what happened. The Rechabites were actually servants in the second temple because of this. So, wow, we really see it here. Loyalty rewarded by Yahweh. And like I said, I praise Yahweh for all the loyal elders and deacons and leaders that are working with me. I do thank Yahweh because, like I said, overall we've had great loyalty. And over the last 5 to 7 years, I can't thank Yahweh enough for the men that he's put in the congregation that are working with me and the loyalty that we have. But it has to be now everybody. We have to build a spirit of loyalty. We can't have any more somebody who's rogue, who's going his own way, because it only takes away from the rest of the congregation, and it doesn't work that way. Romans 6:16 says, Do you not know that to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death, obedience to righteousness? Do you not know to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey? Everybody is loyal to something, right? You're a loyal, whatever you're a slave to, that you're obedient to, you're the slave of what you obey. Either sin or righteousness, right? So everybody is loyal to something. The drug addict is loyal to drugs. The alcoholic is loyal to alcohol. The backbiter is loyal to gossip. There's people who are loyal to money. People loyal to self, to pride. Whatever your vice is, that's where you're going to be loyal to. So we want our loyalty to be to Yahweh. We want it to be to his word. And we want it to be to the leaders that he put there. Because like we said, all authority, you know, in heaven and earth is given to Yeshua. And Yeshua placed people in the congregation, elders and pastors and teachers and prophets, for the edifying of the body, for the building of the saints. Yeshua put them there. And we need to respect that. We need to respect the judicial order, which Yahweh now is bringing all throughout the world. Because without his judicial order, you only have chaos. The last scripture, Psalm 15. Last scripture, Psalm 15. And I'm going to read, it's only 5 verses. Amazing psalm, because this is the psalm of the person who is going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. Somebody who is loyal and somebody who hates disloyal people. A psalm of David, right? The very psalm, like we said, David, a man after Yahweh's own heart. Why? Because he was loyal in everything. Did he make mistakes? Of course. But his loyalty to Yahweh never, ever waned. A psalm of David. O Yahweh, who shall sojourn in your tabernacle? Who shall settle on your holy mountain, Mount Zion? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend. Right? What do we say? The friend is somebody who you're in covenant with. The friend is somebody who you give your loyalty to. That's what friendship is about. He does not do evil to his friend, nor lifts up reproach against his neighbor. In his eyes, the reprobate has been despised. So this person, the one who's going to be in Mount Zion, in Yahweh's holy court, he hates the reprobate. Who is the reprobate? The reprobate is the one who's bringing the false doctrine, who's coming up against Yahweh's leadership, who's fighting against the leaders that Yahweh put in there. They're not supportive. They're not loyal. And this person hates these people. Because disloyalty is a character trait. And when you're loyal and you have that character trait of loyalty, you're going to hate disloyalty. I can't stand it because it's only out of selfishness. Why else would someone be disloyal except for their own selfish ambition? So the whole world, the whole judicial order, Yahweh's whole kingdom society has to stop because so-and-so wants his way. Not the way it works in the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh, we have to be humble, subservient. And you know why? The way Yahweh tests us is not when it goes our way. The way Yahweh tests us is when it doesn't go our way. Are we going to follow the judicial order he placed? Even if we may not agree with it. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, but you have to be loyal to it. You have to be loyal to it. In his eyes, the reprobate has been despised, but he honors those who fear Yahweh. He has sworn to his hurt, and he will not change it. So even to his own hurt, he is going to keep the loyalty to Yahweh. He has not given his silver at interest, nor has he taken a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall not be shaken forever. Wow. So this is the person who will rule with Yeshua and his kingdom. He is loyal to Yahweh, to his own hurt. He keeps his word, but like King David, he respects the leadership that Yahweh placed. And like I said, when you look at David, people were loyal to David because they loved David. People were loyal to Absalom because they were bitter. The ones that were bitter against David were loyal to Absalom out of fear. And as soon as Absalom died, what did they do? They came back to David. But David's true friends, you know, when you look at all the people who went with David when he was leaving, and David's true friends, they were loyal with him to the end. They would have given their life for him. So like King David, he respects leadership Yahweh placed. Many kings of Israel were bad, right? Every king of Israel, most of the ones in Judah, but all the... So if you lived in Israel in the days of the kings, and the kings were bad, what were you going to do? Would you get up and move to Assyria? Of course not. You know, you just had to wait. You had to wait till Yahweh removed the king or Yahweh changed the situation. So it's not up to each of us to be questioning and murmuring at the leadership that Yahweh placed. It's up to us to support that leadership as long as the leadership is supporting Yahweh. Of course, if the leadership now is not supporting Yahweh or doing something that's sinful, then of course now they're not leaders anymore. They violated their position. We'll always choose loyalty to Yahweh's judicial order over our own selfish ambitions. Like I said, loyalty equals love. And the more love you have toward someone or something, the more loyal you're going to be. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.